Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and I'm Nurse Carmen. And again, we thank you for tuning in. And next, we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all once again for tuning in. I just wanted to go over tonight just something that we've been speaking about in the last few of our podcasts, and that's feelings. As we stated earlier, the soul speaks to you in feelings. Listen to your feelings. Follow your feelings. Honor your feelings. So you say, I listen to my feelings, and that's kind of like what gets me in trouble in the first place. But that's only because you label growth as trouble and standing still safe. Your feelings will never get you into trouble because your feelings are your truth. If you want to live a life where you never follow your feelings, but where every feeling is filtered through the machinery of your mind, go right ahead. Make your decisions based on your mind's analysis of the situation, but don't look for joy in such maturation, nor for celebration of who you truly are. Remember this, true celebration is mindless. If you listen to your soul, you will know what is best for you, because what is best for you is what is true for you. When you act only out of what is true for you, you speed your way down the path. When you create an experience based on your now truth, rather than react to an experience based on a past truth, you produce a new you. And remember, everyone, this is what we're working here, a new you. We're getting rid of some of the older way of thinking, some of the things that were taught to us that if we sit down and use the intellect, we'll see that some of the things didn't make sense, or some of the things are constraining and putting God in a box. And this podcast is designed to help you realize not only that God is not in a box, but neither are you. So I'm saying, listen to your soul. Your soul will know what is best for you. And the question, why does it take so much time to create the reality you choose? That this is why, because you have not been living your truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yet, once you come to know your truth, don't keep changing your mind about it. This is your mind trying to figure out what's best. Stop it. Get out of your mind. Get back to your senses. This is what is meant by getting back to your senses. It is a returning to how you feel, not how you think. Your thoughts are just that, thoughts, mental constructions, made up, created creations of your mind. But your feelings, now they are real. Feelings are the language of the soul, and your soul is your truth. Does this mean we are to express any feelings, no matter how negative or destructive? Feelings are neither negative nor destructive. They are simply truths. How you express your truth is what matters. When you express your truth with love, negative and damaging results rarely occur. And when they do, it is usually because someone else has chosen to experience your truth in a negative or damaging way. In such a case, there is probably nothing you can do to avoid the outcome. Certainly, failing to express your truth would hardly be appropriate. Yet, people do this all the time. So afraid are they to cause or to face possible unpleasantness that they hide their truth altogether. Remember, it is not nearly so important how well a message is received as how well it is sent. You cannot take responsibility for how well another accepts your truth. You can only ensure how well it is communicated. And by how well, I don't mean merely how clearly, I mean how lovingly, how compassionately, how sensitively, how courageously, and how completely. This leaves no room for half-truth, the brutal truth, or even the plain truth. It does mean the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. It is the so help you God part that brings in the godly qualities of love and compassion. For God will help you communicate in this way always, if you ask. So yes, express what you call your most negative feelings, but not destructively. Failure to express, push out, feelings does not make them go away. It keeps them in. Negativity kept in harms the body and burdens the soul. But if another person hears every negative thought you have about that person, it would have to affect the relationship no matter how loving those thoughts were delivered. But I say to express, push out, get rid of your negative feelings. I did not say how to and to whom. All negativity need not be shared with the person about whom it is felt. It is only necessary to communicate these feelings to the other when failing to do so would compromise your integrity or cause another to believe an untruth. Negativity is never a sign of ultimate truth, even if it seems like your truth at the moment. It may arise out of an unhealed part of you. In fact, it always does. This is why it is so important to get these negativities out, to release them. Only by letting go of them, putting them out there, placing them in front of you, can you see them clearly enough to know whether you really believe them. You have said, you have all said things, ugly things, only to discover that once having been said, they no longer feel true. You have all expressed feelings from fear to anger to rage, only to discover that once having been expressed, they no longer reveal how you really feel. In this way, feelings can be tricky. Feelings are the language of the soul, but you must make sure you are listening to your true feelings and not some counterfeit model constructed in your mind. Now you're saying, oh, wow, now I can't even trust my feelings. I thought that was the way to truth. I thought that was what I'm trying to tell you. It is, and I am, but listen. Because it is more complex than you now understand, some feelings are true feelings, that is, feelings born in the soul. And some feelings are counterfeit feelings. These are constructed in your mind. In other words, they are not feelings at all. They are thoughts. Thoughts masquerading as feelings. Thoughts are based on your previous experience and on the observed experience of others. You see someone grimace when you have a tooth pulled. When having a tooth pulled, you grimace when having your tooth pulled. It may not even hurt, but you grimace anyway. Your reactions have nothing to do with reality, only how you perceive reality. Based on the experience of others or on something that's happened to you in the past. The greatest challenge as human beings is to be here now, to stop making things up, stop creating thoughts about a preset moment, a moment you sent yourself before you had a thought about it. Be in the moment. Remember, you sent yourself this moment as a gift. The moment contains the seed of a tremendous truth. It is a truth you wish to remember. Yet when the moment arrived, you immediately begin constructing thoughts about it. Instead of being in the moment, you stood outside the moment and judged it. Then you reacted. That is, you acted as you did once before. For us to understand reactive and creative. The only difference is a C is added on to reactive. So C, how to create. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is that when you come to each moment cleanly, without a previous thought about it, you can create who you are rather than reenact who you once were. Life is a process of creation, and you keep living as if it were a process of reenactment. Then you might say, well, how can any rational human being ignore one previous experience in the moment something occurs? Isn't it normal to call up everything you know on the subject and respond for that? It may be normal, but it is not natural. Normal means something usually done. Natural is how you are when you're not trying to be normal. Normal, natural and normal are not the same thing. In any given moment, you can do what you normally do, or you can do what comes naturally. I tell you this, nothing is more natural than love. If you act lovingly, you will be acting naturally. If you react fearful, resentful, angry, you may be acting normally, but you will never be acting naturally. So you say, well, how can I act with love when all my previous experience is screaming at me that a particular moment is likely to be painful? Ignore your previous experiences and go into the moment. be here now. See that, see there, is it to work with right now in creating yourself anew. Remember, this is what we are doing here. To this world in this way, at this time, in this place, to know who you are and to create who you wish to be. This is the purpose all of life. Life is an ongoing, never-ending process of recreation. You keep recreating yourself in the image of your next highest idea about yourself. But another question is asked, but isn't that rather like the man who jumped off the highest building? Sure that he could fly. He ignored his previous experiences and observed experience of others and jumped off the building, all the while declaring, "I am God." That doesn't seem very smart. But I tell you this, men have achieved results much greater than flying. Men have healed sickness. Men have raised the dead. You say one man has. But do you think only one man has been granted such power over the whole universe? Only one man has demonstrated them. Not so. Who parted the Red Sea? God. Indeed, but who called upon God to do that? Moses? Exactly. And who called upon God to heal the sick and raise the dead? Jesus. Now, do you think that what Moses and Jesus did, you cannot do? But they didn't do it. They asked you to. That's a different thing. Okay, we'll use that question in construction for now. And do you think that you cannot ask God for these same miraculous things? Then if you really think about it, then you know that you could. And God would grant them. So the question is, if you ask God to do these things, do you think that God would grant them? And you're probably not sure if he would grant them. And then I'm going to tell you, that's the difference between you and Moses. And that's what separates you from Jesus. See, I've got to make myself plain here, because a lot of times people seem to think that I'm trying to belittle Jesus. But what I want people to understand was Jesus was always trying to lift us up, to let us know that he is no different than us. We have listened to some of the stories that have been passed down, and we fail to see the true message. Many people believe if they ask in Jesus' name that God will grant their requests. Yes, many people do believe that. They believe they have no power, but they have seen or believe others who have seen the power of Jesus. So they ask in his name, even though he said, "Why are you so amazed at these things? And more shall you also do." Yet the people could not believe it, and many do not to this day. You all imagine you are unworthy, so you ask in the name of Jesus, or the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the patron saint, or this or that, or the sun god, or the spirit of the east. You will use anybody's name, anybody but your own. Yet I tell you this, ask and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Jump off the building, and you shall fly. There have been people who have levitated. That's flying. People who have walked the walls and even left their bodies. Then you say, "Yeah, but I've never seen anyone walk through walls, and I don't suggest anyone try it. Nor do I think we should jump off buildings. That's probably not good for your health." That man that fell to his death, not because he could not have flown if he were coming from the right state of being, but because he could never have demonstrated godliness by trying to show himself as separate from God. The man on the building lived in a world of self-delusion in which he imagined himself to be other than the rest of us. By declaring, "I am God," he began his demonstration with a lie. He hoped to make himself separate, larger, more powerful. It was an act of the ego. Ego, that is what is separate. Individual can never duplicate or demonstrate that which is one. By seeking to demonstrate that he was God, the man on the building demonstrated only his separateness, not his unity with all things. Thus, he sought to demonstrate godliness by demonstrating ungodliness and failed. Jesus, on the other hand, demonstrated godliness by demonstrating unity and seeing unity and wholeness wherever and upon whomever he looked. In this, his conscience and in with God's conscience were one, and in such a state, whenever he called forth, was made manifest in his divine reality in that holy moment. And I just beg everyone that is listening here today to think about it. Think about that time when your consciousness was in tune with God's consciousness and what it was that you went to achieve. And tell me, did you or did you not achieve it? We do it subconsciously all the time. And this podcast is to help us be more aware so that we can now live in a conscious state. So all it takes is Christ consciousness to perform miracles. Well, that should make things simple. Actually, it does. More simple than you think. And many have achieved such consciousness. Many have been Christed, not just Jesus of Nazareth. You can be Christed too. You say, how? By seeking to be, by choosing to be. It is a choice you must make every day, every minute. It must become the very purpose of your life. It is the purpose of your life. You simply do not know it. And even if you know it, even if you remember the exquisite reasons for your very existence, you do not seem to know how to get there from where you are. So, how can I get from where I am to where I want to be? Again, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So it's all laid out there before us. We just have to remember who we are. We have to understand that we are truly worthy. We think that we are not worthy, but we are worthy. And we have to understand that and believe it. Jesus knew it. Jesus is trying to tell you that. He went to the cross trying to prove to you your worthiness. But we still allow ourselves to be shackled in the untruths of sin and all of this and separation from God. And you must know you can never, ever, ever be separated from God. So it's important for us to know these things. And not only that we're not separate, but we need to get more in tune. And once we get more in tune with God, then we can see the Christ in each and every one of us. We sing these songs every day. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. And what we have to understand, that Jesus in me, and that Jesus in you, it is the same. And because we are the same, we are all one. Check your scripture. Check your scripture. It will tell you. This is what God has been telling us since the beginning of time. This is what all of his different messengers have been telling us. And when I say messenger, I'm talking about from every different denomination, all of these different people. The universal thing is love and that we are one. And this is where we've got to come to the mindset, regardless to what it is that any type of religion or anything is telling us. We have to know for ourselves. As a upbringing in the Baptist, one of the things they've always said is, you've got to know him for yourself. And when you come to know God for yourself, then you will begin to see the godly in you. You have the same characteristics. You were made in the image and likeness of God. That does not mean that you look like God, but you have all of God's attributes because of who you are. So I want us to understand the importance of this, and I will keep going over it and over it so that we know that we are special. It even says, this is what really gets me about some of these different religions and stuff, is they say it in their scripture, but we don't believe it. Just so you know, Jesus had to die and go to the cross to try to get you to believe and accept the fact that you are special, that you are part of the royal priesthood. You are part of the body of God. And it's important for you to understand that. You've got to walk with that authority. You didn't never see Jesus walking around doubting what it is that he could do. Why? Because he knew. And if we all stop for a moment and think about the time when we knew we were in tune with God, the things that we did at that particular time, we did it with the authority, with our head high, because we knew that we were connected and we were doing the will of God. And Amen. When we were doing the will of God, that will didn't come to us from a mountaintop. It came from within us. The answer came from within. And as I like to say on all my podcasts, please remember, if you don't go within, you will go without.
Yes.
It's important for us to understand that. The God within us, the soul, our soul, is part of the body of God.
Amen.
You say you understand the meaning of life, but you do not live your understanding. You say you know the way towards communion with God, but you do not take the steps. You claim you're on the path, but you do not walk it. Then you come to God and say you're seeking and knocking for 10, 20, 35 years. But it's all delusional, because it's we come when we want to come. Because most of this stuff we think we know, so we don't need to come to him. I tell you this, you want to be Christed, act like Christ every minute of every day. Now, it's not that you don't know how. He has shown you all the way. Be like Christ in every circumstance. It's not that you can't. He has left you instructions. You are not without help in this. Should you seek it, God is giving you guidance every minute of every day. God is that still small voice within which knows which way to turn, which path to take, which answer to give, which action to implement, which word to say, which reality to create. If you truly seek communion and unity with God, just listen. Just listen. I mean, if someone told you you could have a direct connection with God, a direct link, a direct line, all you had to do was to make sure you had a pen handy at any time, would you do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You just said you would or can't, or what's the matter with you? What are you saying? What is your truth? Now, the good news is that you don't even need a pad and a pen, because God is always with you. God does not live in the pen. God lives in you. Now, that is true. I mean, I can really believe that, can I? Of course you can believe it. It's what God has been asking you to believe from the beginning. It's what every master, including Jesus, has said to you. It is the central teaching. It is the ultimate truth that God is with you always, even until the end of time. Now, who believes that? Who believes that God is with them even until the end of time?
Yes, amen.
So, get close to God. Get close to God. Do what you can. Do what you have to. Do what it takes. Say a rosary. Kiss a stone. Bow to the east. Chant a chant. Swing a pendulum. Test a muscle. Or write a book. Do what it takes. Each of you own construction. Each of you has understood God, created God in your own way. To some of you, God is a man. To some of you, God is a woman. To some, God is both. To some, God is neither. To some of you, God is pure energy. To the ultimate feeling, which you call love. And some of you have no idea what God is. You simply know that God is. And so it is. God is. God is the wind which rustles your hair. God is the sun which warms your body. God is the rain which dances on your feet. God is the smell of flowers in the air and the flowers which send the fragrance upwards. God is the air which carries the fragrance. God is the beginning of your first thought. God is the end of your last. God is the idea which sparkles your most brilliant moment. God is the glory of its fulfillment. God is the feeling which fuels the most loving thing you ever did. God is the part of you which yearns for that feeling again and again. Whatever works for you, whatever makes it happen, whatever ritual, ceremony, demonstration, meditation, thought, song, word, or action it takes for you to reconnect, do this. Do this in remembrance of God. Do this in remembrance of God. And on that note, I think I'm going to begin to end our podcast. But I want us to remember, do this in remembrance of God. Now, we do a whole lot of things in remembrance. But the question is, are we really, like, just for example, we have communion the first Sunday or whatever of each month. We have the communion. But that's once. That's once a month. I'm saying that what we have to do is do this in remembrance of God on a daily basis. As we live our life each day, if we do each make a conscious note, they used to have this thing, what would Jesus do? And what we need to do is have that mental note in our mind before we do anything. Think about it. What would Jesus do? And if we start acting on it in that aspect, then we can see the growth. We can see the creations appearing quicker than they are. Sometimes we ask for things and we're still waiting on it 3, 4, 5, 6 years later. It's because we keep changing our minds. But once we come to know who we are and truly believe it to the fact that you don't believe it, you know it. Then you will see things begin to happen just like they happened with Christ. He spoke the word and it was there. It was there because he had faith and he knew that he was connected. He was part of the body of God. I thank you all very much for finding time in your evening to listen to this podcast. Please know that we'll be back again on Thursday at 9 o'clock, every Thursday, 9 o'clock, and Sunday, 9 o'clock, trying to bring back to your remembrance just who it is that you are and whose you are. I thank you all, and please know I love you to death, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. You can get mad at me, but it ain't going to stop me from loving you. Okay? Take care and go in love and be the best today, tomorrow, each day. As that song goes, I'm climbing Jacob's ladder, going higher and higher. And each day is how we should be living our lives. But one other thing, I just want to say this. I got a minute before I go. Please understand, when I say be the best that you can be, that by no means means following, quote-unquote, the traditions of different religions. You listen to that voice within and let those feelings guide you. Those feelings might guide you to go roller skating. Those feelings might guide you to do all kinds of things. Just don't allow the preconceived notions of religion and what you've been taught to stop you from hearing what saith the Lord. I love you all. Good night, and hope to see you again on Thursday night. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Love you.
God bless you.
Amen.